Start this way so she can see, the girl on the other side of Jace says. I don't like this game at all. I hope it somehow ends before it's my turn, or Harden's. Besides, they seem a little old to be playing these ridiculous games. What is it with college kids wanting to kiss random people every chance they get? I watch as the paper is passed between Jace's and the girl's mouth. It doesn't drop. I hold my breath as Harden retrieves the paper from the one girl, then passes it to the other. If he kisses one of them, I let out my breath when it doesn't fall. The paper falls between the redhead and the girl in the yellow shirt, and their lips meet. Her mouth opens, and they kiss with tongue, making me look away and cringe. I want to get up and leave the circle, but my body stays still. I am next. Oh, God, I am next. I gulp as Dan turns to me with the paper on his lips. I'm still not entirely sure what I am supposed to do, so I just close my eyes and go to put my mouth on the other side and suck in. I feel hot air through the paper as Dan blows onto it, but I can tell it's too hard and there's no way the paper won't fall. Right as I feel the paper hit my leg, I feel Dan's hot breath as his mouth moves closer to mine. The second his lips brush mine, he is pulled away. I open my eyes, but by the time my mind can catch up to what is happening, Harden is on top of Dan and has his hands latched around the guy's neck. Chapter 84. I scramble backward with my hands as Harden lifts Dan's head, his hand still wrapped around his neck, and slams it down into the grass. For a second, I wonder if Harden would have done the same were we on the concrete porch or near the fire pit stones, and I feel like my answer comes in the form of Harden raising one fist high and slamming it into Dan's jaw. Harden! I scream and climb to my feet. Everyone else just stares, Jace seeming amused and even Ronnie entertained. Stop him, I beg, but Jace shakes his head as Harden's fist connects again to Dan's already bloody face.
This has been coming for a while. Let them hash it out, he smirks at me. Want a drink?
What? No, I don't want a drink. What the hell is wrong with you? I yell. A crowd has now gathered around, and people are cheering on the fight. I have yet to see Dan hit Harden, for which I'm glad, but I definitely want Harden to stop hurting Dan. I'm too afraid to try to stop him myself, so when Zed appears in the yard, I yell for him. His eyes find me immediately, and he jogs over. Stop him, please, I yell. Everyone seems excited about this, except me. If Harden keeps hitting him, he will kill him. I know it. Zed gives me a quick nod and takes a few steps over to Harden. He wraps his fist into Harden's shirt and pulls him backward. Harden is caught off guard, so he's easily separated from Dan's prone body. Enraged, Harden takes a swing at Zed, but Zed dodges his fist and puts both of his hands on Harden's shoulders. He says something to Harden that I can't make out, and then nods his head toward me. Harden's eyes are blazing, his knuckles bloody, and his shirt ripped from Zed's grip. His chest is pumping up and down rapidly, like he's a wild animal after a kill. I don't make a move to walk toward him. I know how angry he is at me. I can tell. I am not afraid of Harden the way I probably should be, even though I just witnessed him completely losing his temper in the worst way possible. I know that he would never physically hurt me. With the excitement winding down, almost everyone begins to move back inside the house. Dan's crumpled body lies on the ground, and Jace leans down to help him up. He stumbles to his feet and lifts his shirt up to wipe his bloody face off, spitting out a mixture of blood and saliva that makes me look away. Harden's head turns to look where Dan is, and he tries to take a step toward him. Zed holds Harden tight to stop him.
Fuck you, Scott,
Dan yells. Jace steps between them. Oh, now he wants to do something?
Just wait until your little...
Dan shouts.
Shut the fuck up,
Jay snaps, and Dan's mouth closes. Dan looks at me, and I take a step back. I wonder what Jace meant by, this has been coming for a while. Harden and Dan seemed fine together a few minutes ago.
Go inside,
Harden yells, and I immediately know that he is talking to me. I decide to listen to him for once and turn around and run into the house. I know that everyone is staring at me, but I don't care. I push my way through the crowded house and rush up to Harden's room. I must have forgotten to lock it when I left, and to add to my horror, there is a big red spot on the carpet. Someone must have stumbled in here and spilled a drink on the tan carpet. Great. I hurry to the bathroom and grab a towel and turn the sink on.
I lock Hardin's door once I step inside and furiously wipe the stain, but the water only spreads the spot and makes it much worse. The door clicks, and I try to stand before he enters.
What the hell are you doing?
His eyes move to the towel in my hand, then to the spot on the floor. Someone... I forgot to lock the door when I went downstairs, I say, and look at him. His nostrils flare, and he takes a deep breath. I'm sorry, I say. The anger is radiating off him, and I can't even be angry with him because all of this is my fault. If I would have just listened to him and stayed in the room, none of this would have happened. He runs his hands over his face in frustration, and I take a step toward him. His fingers are busted and bloody, reminding me of his fight at the stadium. He surprises me by grabbing the towel from my hands, and I reflexively jump back a little. His eyes flash with confusion, and he tilts his head slightly as he uses the non-stained portion of the towel to wipe his knuckles off. I expected him to barge through the door and break things while screaming at me. Instead, I am granted with his silence, which turns out to be much worse. "Could you please say something?" I beg. His words come even slower than usual.
"Trust me, Tessa. You don't want me to speak right now."
"Yes, I do," I tell him. I can't stand his angry silence.
"No, you don't,"
he growls. "Yes, I do. I need you to talk to me. Tell me what the hell happened down there." I wave my hands toward the window, and he clenches his fists by his sides.
"God damn it, Tessa. You always have to push and push. I told you to stay in my fucking room multiple times, and what the fuck did you do? You didn't listen, as usual. Why is it so damn hard for you to listen to what I say?"
he yells, and slams his fist against the side of his dresser, cracking the wood. "Because, Hardin, you don't just get to tell me what to do all the time," I yell back.
"That isn't what I'm doing. I was trying to keep you away from shit like what just happened. I already warned you that they aren't a good group of people, yet you prance out there with Jace and then volunteer yourself to play that fucking game. What the fuck was that?"
The deep veins in his neck are straining against his skin so tightly that I fear they may break through. "I didn't know what the game was."
"You knew I didn't want you to play, and the only reason you wanted to play was because Molly's name was mentioned because of this crazy obsession you have with her."
"Excuse me? Crazy obsession? Maybe I don't like the fact that my boyfriend used to sleep with her." My cheeks flame. My jealousy and dislike toward Molly are a little crazy, but Hardin just choked a guy for almost kissing me.
"Well, sorry to break it to you, but if you're going to have a problem with everyone that I slept with, you may want to transfer schools,"
he exclaims, and my mouth falls open.
"You didn't have a problem with the girls downstairs,"
he adds, and my heart goes frantic. "What girls?" my breath catches. "Those three that were playing with us?"
"Yeah, and just about every other girl in this place."
His voice holds no emotion as he glares at me. I try to come up with something to say, but I am at a loss for words. The fact that Hardin has slept with all three of those girls and basically the entire female population at WCU makes me nauseous. And the worst part is how he just threw it in my face. I must look like such a fool hanging around Hardin when everyone else figures I'm just one of the many girls he slept with. I knew he would be pissed off, but this is too far, even for Hardin. I feel like we have gone back in time to when I first met him, and he would purposely make me cry on an almost daily basis.
"What? Surprised? You shouldn't be,"
he says. "No. And I'm not surprised. Not one bit. I'm hurt. Not about his past, just the way he treated me out of anger. He said it that way just to hurt me." I blink rapidly to stop the tears from coming, but when it doesn't work, I turn away and wipe my eyes.
"Just go,"
he says, and walks toward the door. "What?" I ask and turn to face him.
"Just go, Tessa."
"Go where?" He doesn't even look at me.
"Back to your room. I don't know, but you can't stay here."
This is not at all what I thought would happen. The pain in my chest grows with every second of silence that passes between us. Part of me wants to beg him to let me stay, and to argue with him until he tells me why he reacted the way he did downstairs, but a bigger part of me is embarrassed and hurt by his cool dismissal. I grab my bag off the bed and sling it over my shoulder. When I reach the door, I look back at Hardin and hope that he will apologize or change his mind, but he turns to the window and completely ignores me.
I have no idea how I will get back to the dorms since Harden drove me here and I had every intention of staying the night with him. I don't remember the last time I stayed alone in my room, and the thought unnerves me. The drive to this house seems like days ago instead of hours. When I reach the bottom of the stairs, someone tugs at the back of my sweatshirt, and I hold my breath as I turn around, silently praying that it isn't Jace or Dan. It's Harden.
"Come back upstairs,"
he says, his voice desperate and his eyes red. "Why? I thought you wanted me to leave." I stare at the wall behind him. He sighs and grabs the bag from my shoulder and walks back up the stairs. I think about just letting him have the bag and leaving anyway, but my stubborn attitude is what got me in this situation in the first place. I huff and follow him back to his room. When the door closes, he turns around and backs me up against the wall. He looks into my eyes.
"I'm sorry."
He pushes his hips against mine and puts one of his arms against the door to close my head so I can't move.
"Me too," I whisper.
I lose my temper sometimes. I didn't really sleep with those girls. Well, not all three of them.
I feel a little relieved, but not completely.
My first instinct when I get angry is to come back even harder, to hurt the other person as much as I can. But I don't want you to leave, and I'm sorry for scaring you by beating the shit out of Dan. I am trying to change for you, to be what you deserve, but it's hard for me, especially when you do things to purposely piss me off,
he says. He brings his hand to my cheek and wipes the drying tears left there. I wasn't scared of you, I say.
Why not? It seemed like you were when I grabbed the towel.
No, well, I was a little when you grabbed the towel because of the stain on the floor, but really I was more afraid for you when you were fighting Dan.
Afraid for me?
He puffs his shoulders up a little and brags,
"He didn't get a hit on me."
I roll my eyes. I meant that you would end up killing him or something. You could get in a lot of trouble for assaulting him, I explain. Harden chuckles.
"Let me get this straight. You were worried about the legal repercussions of our fight?"
"Stop laughing. I'm still mad at you," I tell him, and cross my arms. I'm not exactly sure what I am upset about except him telling me to leave.
"I'm still pissed at you, too, but you're very amusing."
He presses his forehead against mine.
"You drive me crazy,"
he says. "I know."
"You never listen to me, and you always fight me on everything. You are stubborn and borderline intolerable."
"I know," I repeat.
"You provoke me and cause me a shitload of unnecessary stress. Not to mention, you almost made out with Dan right in front of me."
His lips touch my neck, and I shiver.
"You say the most annoying things, and you act like a child when you're mad."
Despite the insults he is throwing at me, complaints about things that, deep down, I think he really enjoys about me, my stomach is fluttering as he kisses my skin and continues his light verbal assault. He pushes his hips against mine again, more forcefully this time.
"But all that being said, I also happen to be vigorously in love with you,"
he says, and sucks harshly on sensitive skin below my ear. I push my hands through his hair, making him groan, and he puts both of his hands on my waist, pulling me to him. I know there are more things to be said, more problems to be solved, but right now, all I want is to get lost in Harden and forget about tonight. Chapter 85. In what feels like a desperate attempt to be closer to me as we kiss, Harden moves a hand to the back of my neck. I can sense all of his anger and frustration being transferred into lust and affection. His mouth is hungry and his kiss is sloppy as he walks backward with our lips still attached. He guides me with one hand on my hip and the other behind my head. But I trip over his feet and stumble just as his legs reach the end of his bed, causing both of us to fall back onto it. In an attempt to wrestle control from him, I straddle his torso and pull my sweatshirt and tank top over my head at the same time, leaving me in my lacy bra. His eyes widen and he tries to pull me down to kiss him, but I have other plans. Reaching behind my back, my rushed fingers find my bra clasp and I unsnap it before pulling the straps down my shoulders and letting it drop to the bed behind me. Harden's hands are warm as he reaches up and cups my breasts in his large palms, kneading them roughly. Grabbing his wrists,
I remove his hands from my skin and shake my head. His head tilts in confusion before I climb down his body and unbutton his pants. He helps me tug them down to his knees, along with his boxers. My fingers immediately grip his length. He gasps, and when I look at his face, his eyes are closed. I pump slowly before dipping down and bravely taking him into my mouth. I try to remember his instructions from last time and repeat the things that I know he liked.
"Fuck, Tessa."
He pants and wraps his hands into my hair. This is the longest he has been silent during any sexual experience we have shared, and I realize, much to my own amusement, that I missed his dirty words. I move my body while continuing to please him and end up between his knees. He sits up and watches me.
"You look so sexy like this, with that smart mouth of yours wrapped around me,"
he says and grips my hair harder. I feel the heat gathering between my legs and move my head faster, wanting to hear him moan my name again. My tongue laps around the tip of him, and he lifts his hips slightly off the bed, pushing himself down my throat. My eyes begin to water, and I can barely breathe, but hearing my name fall from his lips over and over again makes it that much better. Seconds later, he removes his hands from my hair and cups my face, stopping me from moving further. The metallic scent of his bloody knuckles hits my nose, but I ignore the reflex to pull away.
"I'm going to come,"
he tells me.
"So if there's anything else you want to do before then, you should stop blowing me."
I don't want to speak, to give away how desperate I am to have him make love to me, so I simply stand up and slide my jeans down my legs and step out of them. When I begin to remove my panties, Harden's hand reaches out and stops me.
"I want you to leave these on, for now,"
he coos. I nod and gulp, anticipation consuming me.
"Come here."
He gestures and pulls his shirt over his head. Scooting to the edge of the bed, he pulls me onto him. Our feverish exchange in the beginning has slowed, and the angry tension between us has decreased. Harden's chest is flushed, and his eyes are wild. The feeling of sitting on his lap while he is completely naked and ready, and I am only dressed in panties, is exquisite. He presses the small of my back, the length of his one outstretched hand there holding me in place as his lips meet mine once again.
"I love you,"
he whispers into my mouth as his fingers move my panties to the side.
"I love you."
I gasp at the immediate pleasure of the intrusion. He moves his fingers slowly, too slowly, and I instinctively rock back and forth to create a faster pace.
"That's it, baby. Fuck. You're always so ready for me,"
he groans, and I continue to rock against his hand. My breathing and moans intensify. It still surprises me how quickly my body responds to Harden. He knows every little thing to do and say.
"You are going to listen to me from now on, am I right?"
he says against my neck, gently biting the skin. "What?"
"Tell me you will listen to me, or I won't let you come."
He can't be serious. "Harden," I plea and try to move faster, but he stops me. "Okay, okay. Just please," I beg, and he smirks. I want to slap him for doing this now. He is using my most vulnerable time against me, but I can't find my anger through my need for him. I am all too aware of his bare skin against mine, only my thin panties between us. "Please," I repeat, and he nods.
"Good girl,"
he says in my ear, and guides my hips to move again as his fingers pump in and out. I feel myself inching closer and closer to the edge in no time at all. Harden whispers filthy things in my ear, the foreign words urging me on in a way that I can't describe. They are completely filthy, but welcome, and I grip onto his arms to keep myself from falling off the bed as I come undone under his touch.
"Open your eyes. I want to watch what only I can do to you,"
he instructs, and I do my best to keep them open as my orgasm overtakes me. Afterward, my head falls onto his chest, and my arms wrap under his arms, hugging him tight as I try to catch my breath. "I can't believe you tried to..." I begin to scold him, but he silences me by running his tongue along my bottom lip. My breath comes out in spurts as I am still recovering from my high. I reach my hand down in between us and grab hold of him.
He winces and pulls my lip between his, sucking lightly. I decide to take a page from the Hardin Scott sex handbook and grip him harder. "Apologize, and I will give you what you want," I say as seductively as I possibly can into his ear.
"What?"
His face is priceless. "You heard me." I keep my face neutral and pump him in one hand and slide my fingers over my soaking panties with the other. He whimpers as I rub him against me.
"I'm sorry,"
he blurts, his cheeks a deep shade of red.
"Just let me fuck you. Please,"
he begs, and I laugh. My laughter is cut short by him reaching over to the nightstand and pulling out a small packet. He wastes no time putting the condom on and kissing me again.
"I don't know if you are ready to do it this way, with you above me. If it's too intense, tell me. Okay, baby?"
And like that, he's back to the sweet and gentle Hardin. "Okay," I answer. He lifts me up slightly, and I feel the condom brush against me, and then fullness as he lowers me onto him. "Oh my," I say, and close my eyes.
"Is it okay?"
"Yeah, just different," I stammer. It hurts, not nearly as much as before, but the feeling is still unpleasant and foreign. I keep my eyes closed and move my hips a little, trying to decrease the pressure.
"Good, different, or bad?"
His voice is strained and the vein in his forehead is showing. "Shh, stop talking," I say, and move again. He moans and apologizes, promising to give me a minute to adjust. I have no idea how much time passes before I move my hips again. The discomfort eases dramatically the more I move, and at some point, Hardin wraps his arms around my back, hugging me close to him as he moves to meet my hips. This way is much better, him holding me as we move together. One of my hands rests on his chest, holding my weight as my legs start to tire. I ignore the burn of my muscles and continue to ride his body this way. I keep my eyes open to watch Hardin as a bead of sweat rolls down his forehead. Watching him like this, with his lower lip pulled between his teeth, his eyes so focused on my face that I swear I can feel the burn from them on my skin, is overwhelming in the best way.
"You are everything to me. I can't lose you,"
he says as my lips move over his neck and shoulder. His skin is salty and damp and perfect.
"I'm close, baby. So fucking close. You're doing so good, baby."
He groans and moves his hands up and down my back as I try to pick up speed. He laces his fingers through mine, and the intimacy of the gesture makes me weak. I love his encouragement, and I love him. I feel my stomach tightening as Hardin grips the back of my neck with one hand. He continues to whisper how much I mean to him as his body grows tense. I stare, completely consumed by his words and the way his thumb is brushing over my clit, bringing me to a quick and powerful release. Our moans intertwine along with our bodies as we finish. He practically falls back, lying on the bed, and takes me with him. I barely notice him discarding the condom as I come back to reality. "I'm glad you followed me down the stairs," I finally say, after a long but pleasant silence. With my head lying on his bare chest, I can hear his rapid heartbeat slowing.
"Me too. I wasn't going to, but I had to. I am sorry for telling you to leave. I can be an asshole sometimes,"
he says. I lift my head up and look at him. "Sometimes?" I smile. He lifts one of his hands off my back and pokes me on the nose with his index finger, making me giggle.
"You weren't complaining 5 minutes ago,"
he points out. I shake my head and lay it back down onto his clammy skin. My fingers trace the simple heart-shaped tattoo near his shoulder, and I notice the goosebumps raise on his skin. It isn't lost on me that the heart is colored in with solid black ink. "That's because you're better at that stuff than you are at dating," I tease.
"I won't argue there."
He chuckles and moves my hair from my face. One of my favorite things that he does is when he caresses my cheek. His fingertips are rough, but they somehow feel like silk against my skin. "What happened between you and Dan? I mean, before tonight," I ask. "I probably shouldn't, but I have to know."
"What? Who told you there was a problem between Dan and me?"
He lifts my chin to look at him. "Jace. He didn't say what it was, though. He just said it was coming for a while. What did he mean by that?"
"Just some bullshit thing that happened last year," It's nothing for you to worry about. I promise,
he says, and smiles a smile that doesn't extend to his eyes, but I don't feel like pushing it. I'm just happy that we worked through our problem for once, and that we are getting better at communicating with one another.
You're going to meet me after you leave Vance tomorrow, right? I don't want anyone to take that apartment before us,
he says. We don't have any furniture, I remind him.
It comes furnished, but we can add things or change whatever we want after we move in.
How much is it? I ask. I know I don't want to hear the answer to that. I can only imagine how expensive it is if it comes already furnished.
Don't worry about that. All you need to worry about is how much the cable will be.
He smiles and kisses my forehead.
So what do you say? You're still in, right?
And groceries, I point out, and he frowns. But yes, I am still in.
Are you going to tell your mother?
I don't know. I will eventually, but I already know what she's going to say. Maybe I should let her get used to the fact that we're together first. We are so young and already moving in together. I don't want to send her into a mental ward. I let out a laugh, despite the slight pain in my chest. I wish things could be simple with my mother and she could be happy for me, but I know that isn't plausible.
I am sorry that this is happening between the two of you. I know it's my fault, but I'm far too selfish to remove myself from the situation.
It's not your fault. She's just... Well, she is the way she is, I say, and kiss his chest.
You need to get to sleep, baby. You have to be up in the morning, and it's almost midnight,
he says. Midnight? I thought it was much later, I say, and roll off him and lie in front of him.
Well, if you weren't so tight, I would have lasted longer,
he says into my ear. Good night, I groan in embarrassment. He laughs and kisses the back of my neck before turning the light off. Chapter 86. The next morning, bright and early, I scramble around Hardin's room, gathering my things to take a shower.
I'm coming with you,
he groans, but I laugh. No, you're not. You know it's only 6 a.m., right? What happened to your 7:30 rule? I tease and grab my bag.
I'm going to walk you there.
I love his raspy morning voice. Walk me where? To the bathroom? I scoff as he rolls out of bed. I'm a big girl. I can walk myself down the hall.
You're doing an amazing job at listening to me so far.
He rolls his eyes, but I see the amusement in them. Fine, Daddy, walk me to the bathroom, I whine playfully. I have no intention of listening to him, but I decide to humor him for the moment. Hardin raises his eyebrow and smirks.
Don't call me that again, or I'll have to take you back to bed.
He winks, and I hurry out of the room before I'm too tempted to stay. He follows behind me and sits on the toilet while I shower.
You're going to have to take my car,
he says, which utterly surprises me.
I'll get a ride to campus to grab yours so I can go over to the apartment.
I didn't think about any of this last night, which further shocks me, since I usually plan everything out so well. You're going to let me drive your car? I gape.
Yeah. However, if you wreck it, don't bother coming back,
he says. Part of me knows he is somewhat serious, but I laugh and say, I should be worried about you wrecking mine. He tries to open the curtain, but I pull it closed again and hear him chuckle.
Just think, babe. After today, you will be in your own shower every morning.
His voice carries over the water as I rinse the shampoo from my hair. I don't think it will really hit me until we are actually there.
Wait until you see it. You will love it,
he says. Does anyone know that you're getting an apartment? I ask. I already know the answer.
No? Why would they need to know?
They don't. I was just wondering. The faucet creaks as I shut the water off. Hardin holds a towel open for me as I step out and wraps it around my soaked body.
I know you well enough to know that you think I am hiding the fact that we are moving in together from my friends,
he says. He's not wrong. Well, it does seem a little odd that you're moving out of here but no one knows.
That isn't because of you. It's because I don't want to hear their shit about dropping out of the fraternity. I will tell them all, even Molly, after we move in.
He smiles and wraps his arms around my shoulders. I want to be the one to tell Molly, I laugh, and hug him back.
Deal.
After multiple attempts to keep Hardin's hands off me as I get ready, he hands me the keys to his car and I leave. The moment I get in the car, my phone vibrates.
Be careful. I love you.
The text reads, I will. You be careful in my car, smiley face. I love you.
XO.
I can't wait to see you again. Meet me at 5. Your crap car will be fine.
You should watch out what you say, or I may accidentally hit a parking median in yours. I smile to myself as I send my reply.
Stop pestering me and go to work before I come down there and peel that dress off you.
As appealing as that sounds, I put my phone back onto the passenger seat and start the car. The engine gently purrs to life, unlike the loud roar of mine. For a classic car, it drives much smoother than mine. He really takes care of it. When I turn onto the freeway, my phone rings. Jesus, you can't go 20 minutes without me? I laugh into the phone.
Tessa?
A male voice says. Noah. I pull my phone away from my ear and look at my screen to confirm my horror. Sorry, I thought... I stammer.
You thought it was him. I know.
He says. His voice is sad and not at all hateful. I'm sorry. I don't deny it.
It's okay.
He says. So? I'm not sure what to say.
I saw your mom yesterday.
Oh. The pain from Noah's sorrow-filled voice and the reminder of my mother's hatred for me causes my chest to ache.
Yeah, she is pretty pissed at you.
I know. She threatened to stop helping me with college.
She will get over this. I know she will. She's just hurt,
he says. She is hurt? You're kidding me, right? I scoff. He cannot be defending her.
No, no. I know she's going about it the wrong way, but she's just angry that you are, you know, with him.
The disgust in his voice is evident. Well, it isn't her place to tell me who to be with. Is that why you called me? To tell me that I shouldn't be with him?
No, no. Tessa, it's not... I just wanted to make sure you are okay. This is the longest we have gone without talking since we were 10 years old,
he says. I can picture the frown on his face. Oh, I'm sorry for snapping at you. I just have a lot going on right now, and I thought you were calling to...
Just because we aren't together anymore doesn't mean I wouldn't be there for you,
he says, and my heart aches. I do miss him. Not my relationship with him, but he's been such a huge part of my life since I was a child, it's hard to let that go entirely. He was there for me through everything, and I hurt him, without even calling to explain or apologize. I feel terrible about how I left things with him, and tears well up in my eyes. I'm sorry for everything, Noah, I say softly and sigh.
It'll be okay,
he says back, equally softly. But then, as if needing to change the topic, he says,
So I heard you got an internship.
And our conversation continues until I arrive at Vance. When we get off the phone, he promises to talk to my mother about her behavior toward me, and I feel like a huge weight has been lifted from me. Of anyone, Noah could always manage to get her to calm down when she was at her worst. The rest of my day goes smoothly. I spend the entire day finishing my first manuscript and making notes for Mr. Vance. Harden and I text on and off to nail down the details on where to meet, and before I know it, the day is over. When I arrive at the address Harden sent me, I'm surprised to find that it's about halfway between campus and Vance Publishing. My drive would only be 20 minutes if I lived here. When I live here. It still seems like such an abstract idea. Harden and I living together. I don't see my car when I pull into the parking lot, and when I try to call Harden's phone, I get his voicemail. What if he changed his mind? He would tell me, wouldn't he? Just as I start to panic, Harden pulls my car into the lot and parks next to me. At least, it looks like my car, but it also looks different. The silver paint is no longer chipped, and overall it looks shiny and new. What did you do to my car? I say when he climbs out.
It's nice to see you too.
He smiles and kisses my cheek. Seriously, what did you do? I cross my arms.
I got a paint job. Jesus, you could thank me.
He rolls his eyes. I bite my tongue only because of where we are and what we are about to do. Besides, the paint job does look really good. I just don't like the idea of Harden spending money on me, and paint jobs are not cheap. Thank you, I smile and lace my fingers through his.
You're welcome. Now let's go inside.
He leads me through the parking lot.
You look good driving my car, especially in that dress. I couldn't stop thinking about it all day. I wish you would have obliged my request that you send me naked pictures of yourself,
he says, and I elbow him.
just saying, would have made class much more interesting.
Oh, so you went to class? I say, laughing. He shrugs and opens the front door of the building for me.
Here we are.
I smile at his uncharacteristic gesture and walk inside. The lobby of the building isn't what I expected at all. It is all white. White floors, clean white walls, white chairs, white couches, white rugs, white lamps on clear tables. It looks elegant, but very intimidating. A short, balding man in a suit greets us and shakes Hardin's hand. He seems nervous around us, or maybe just around Hardin.
You must be Teresa,
he smiles. His teeth are as white as the bright walls. Tessa, I smile and correct him while Hardin bites back a smile of his own.
It's nice to meet you. Shall we get to signing? No, she wants to see it first. Why would we sign if she hasn't even seen it?
Hardin says in a flat tone. The poor man gulps and nods.
Of course. Let's go up.
He gestures down the hallway. Be nice, I whisper to Hardin as the three of us walk to the elevator.
Nope.
He smirks at me and squeezes my behind gently. I glare at him, but his dimpled smile only grows. The man tells me about how great the view is and that this is one of the best and most diverse apartment buildings in the area. I nod along politely, and Hardin stays quiet as we step off the elevator. I am taken aback by the contrast between the lobby and the hallway. It feels like we have stepped into a completely different building, even a different time period.
Here it is, the man says and opens the first door we come to. There are only 5 apartments on this floor, so you will have a lot of privacy.
He gestures for us to enter, but looks away from Hardin's gaze. He is definitely afraid of Hardin. I can't say I blame him, but it is a little entertaining to watch. I hear my own gasp as I take in the sight before me. The main room's floors are old, stained concrete, except for one large square of hard wood in the space that I assume would be the living room. The walls are brick and beautiful, damaged but perfect. The windows are large, and the furniture is old-fashioned but clean. If I could design the perfect space, this would be it. It's somehow a throwback to another era, but completely modern. Hardin watches me intently as I look around, going into the other rooms and letting Hardin and the man trail behind. The kitchen is small and has multicolored tiles above the sink and countertop, adding an indie fun look. I absolutely love everything about this small apartment. The lobby downstairs had scared me, so I was expecting to hate the place. I thought it would be an overpriced, stuffy apartment, and I'm thrilled that it isn't. The bathroom is small, but big enough for us, and the bedroom is just as perfect as the rest of the place. 3 walls are old red brick, and the 4th is covered with a floor-to-ceiling bookshelf. It has a ladder attached, and I can't help but laugh because I always pictured myself having this exact apartment after I graduated from college. I just didn't think it would come so soon.
We could fill the shelves. I have a lot of books.
Hardin mumbles nervously. I begin.
You don't like it, do you? I thought you would. It seemed perfect for you. Damn it.
He frowns and runs his fingers over his hair. No, I...
Let's go then. Show us another one.
Hardin snaps at the man. Hardin, if you would let me finish, I was going to say that I love it, I tell him. The man looks just as relieved as Hardin, whose frown turns into a massive smile.
Really?
Yes, I was afraid it was going to be some fancy, cold apartment. But this is just perfect, I tell him, and mean it.
I knew it. Well, I was getting nervous a second ago, but as soon as I checked this place out, I thought of you. I pictured you there.
He points to the bench in the window.
Just sitting and reading a book. That's when I knew I wanted you to live here with me.
I smile and my stomach flutters at his saying that in front of someone else, even if it's a random leasing agent.
So we're all ready to sign then?
The man shifts uncomfortably. Hardin looks at me and I nod. I can't believe we are really doing this. I ignore the small voice reminding me that this is too soon, that I am too young, and I follow Hardin back into the kitchen. Chapter 87. Hardin signs his name on the bottom of what seems like an endless page before sliding the whole thing over to me. I grab the pen and sign before I can start overthinking it again. I am ready for this. We are ready for this. Yes, we are young and we haven't known each other very long, but I know that I love him more than anything, and he loves me.
As long as that much is certain, the rest will fall into place.
All right, here are your keys.
Robert, whose name I finally learned from all those pages, hands Hardin and me each a set of keys, bids us farewell, and is on his way.
Well, welcome home,
Hardin says once we're alone. I laugh and step closer to him so he can wrap his arms around me. I can't believe we live here now. It still doesn't seem real. My eyes scan the living room.
If someone had told me I would be living with you, let alone dating you, 2 months ago, I would have either laughed in their face or punched them. Either one.
He smiles and takes my face between his hands. Well, aren't you sweet? I tease and put my hands on his sides. It's a relief to have our own space. No more parties, no more roommates and community showers, I say.
Our own bed,
he adds with a wiggle of his eyes.
We will need to get a few things, dishes and such.
I touch the back of my hand to his forehead. Are you feeling okay? I smile. You're being awfully cooperative today. He brushes my hand aside, then gives the back of it a little kiss.
I just want to make sure you're pleased with everything here. I want you to feel at home with me.
And what about you? Do you feel at home here? I ask him.
Surprisingly enough, yes.
He answers, nodding, and looks around the room. We should go get my stuff. I don't have much but a few books and my clothes, I say. He waves his arms in the air as if he has performed some sort of magic trick.
Already done.
What? I ask.
I brought all of your belongings from your room. They're in your trunk,
he explains. How did you know I would sign? What if I hated the apartment? I smile. I do wish I had had the chance to say goodbye to Steph and the room that I called home for 3 months, but I'll see her again soon.
Because if you wouldn't have liked this one, I would have found one that you did.
He answers confidently. Okay, well, what about your stuff?
We can get it tomorrow. I have clothes in my trunk.
What is it with that anyway? He always has so many clothes in his car.
I don't know, really. I guess you just never know when you will need clothes.
He shrugs.
Let's go to the store and get all the shit we need for the kitchen and some food,
Hardin says. Okay. My stomach has been full of butterflies since I stepped into the apartment. Can I drive your car again? I ask when we get down to the lobby.
I don't know.
He smiles. You painted my car without permission. I think I have earned the privilege. I hold out my hands and he rolls his eyes before dropping the keys into them.
So you like my car then? It drives nicely, doesn't it?
I give him a coy look. It's okay. I lie. I love the way it drives. Our building could not be located in a better place. We're close to multiple stores, coffee shops, and even a park. We end up going to Target, and soon the cart is full of dishes, pots and pans, cups, and other things I didn't know we would need but seem useful. We save the groceries for another trip since we already have so much stuff. I volunteer to go grocery shopping after my internship tomorrow if Hardin makes me a list of things he likes to eat. The best thing so far about living together is all the small details about Hardin that I would have otherwise never known. He's so stingy with information, it's nice to get some out of him without a fight. Even though we spend almost every night together, by just buying things for our place, I'm finding out things that I would have never known. Like, he likes cereal with no milk. Even the idea of mismatching cups drives him insane. He uses 2 different types of toothpaste, 1 in the morning and 1 at night, and he doesn't know why, he just does. And he would rather mop the floor 100 times before having to load a dishwasher. We agree that I will always do the dishes as long as he mops the floor. We bicker back and forth in front of the cashier when it comes time to pay. I know he had to put a deposit down for the apartment, so I want to cover our Target haul, but he refuses to let me pay for anything except cable and groceries. At first, he offered to let me pay for the electricity, which he declined to tell me was already included in the rent, until I found the proof on the lease. The lease. I have a lease with a man that I'm moving in with my freshman year of college. That's not crazy, right? Hardin glares at the woman when she takes my debit card, and I give her props because she swipes my card without even acknowledging his attitude. I want to laugh in victory, but he is already irritated, and I don't want the night to be ruined. Hardin sulks until we get back to the apartment, and I stay quiet because I find it amusing. We might have to make 2 trips down here to get all the stuff, I tell him. That's another thing. I would rather carry 100 bags than make 2 trips, he says, and finally smiles.
We still end up having to take 2 trips because the dishes are just too heavy. Hardin's irritation grows, but so does my humor. We put all the dishes away into the cabinets, and Hardin orders a pizza. The polite person in me can't help but offer to pay for it, which earns me a glare and a middle finger. I laugh and put all the trash into the box the dishes came in. They weren't joking when they said the apartment came furnished. It has everything we could need. A trash can, even a shower curtain.
The pizza will be here in 30 minutes. I'm going to go down and get your stuff, he says.
I'll come too, I say, and follow him out. He has put my things into 2 boxes and a trash bag, which makes me cringe, but I stay quiet. Grabbing a handful of t-shirts and a pair of jeans out of his trunk, he shoves them into the trash bag with my clothes. Good thing we have an iron, I finally say. When I look into his trunk, something catches my eye. You never got rid of those sheets? I ask.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to, but I forgot,
he says and looks away. Okay. I feel a little uneasy about his reaction. We haul a load of stuff up the stairs, and right when we reach the top, the pizza guy rings our bell. Hardin goes back down to meet him, and when he comes back up, the aroma coming from the box is heavenly. I didn't realize how hungry I'd gotten. We eat at the table, and it's strange but nice to be eating dinner with Hardin in our place. We're quiet as we devour the delicious pizza, but it's the good kind of silence, the kind that tells me we're home.
I love you,
he says as I put our plates into the dishwasher. I turn and respond, I love you. Just as my phone vibrates loudly on the wood table. Hardin looks over and taps the screen. Who is it? I ask him.
Noah?
He says, as both a declaration and a question at the same time. Oh, I know this isn't going to go well.
He says it was nice talking to you today?
His jaw clenches. I walk back over and grab the phone, practically wrestling it out of his grip. I could have sworn he was going to crush it in his hand. Yeah, he called me today, I tell him with false confidence. I was going to mention it to him, I just haven't found the right time.
And?
He raises his eyebrow. He was just telling me that he saw my mother and he was just seeing how I am doing.
Why?
I don't know, just to check on me, I guess, I shrug, and sit down in the chair next to him at the table.
He doesn't need to be checking on you,
he growls. It's not that big a deal, Hardin. I've known him half my life. His eyes grow colder.
I don't give a shit.
You're being ridiculous. We just moved in together and you're worried about Noah calling me? I scoff.
You have no reason to be talking to him. He probably thinks you want him back since you answered the call.
He runs his hands through his hair. No, he doesn't. He knows that I am with you. I try my best to fight my temper. He gestures wildly at my phone.
Then call him right now and tell him not to call you again.
What? No, I'm not doing that. Noah hasn't done anything wrong. I've already hurt him enough. We both have. So no, I will not say that to him. There is no harm in me being friends with him.
Yes, there is, he says, his voice rising. He thinks he is better than me and he will try to take you from me. I'm not stupid, Tessa. Your mom wants you with him, too. I won't let him try to take what is mine.
I step back and look at him with wide eyes. Would you listen to yourself? You sound like a lunatic. I am not going to be hateful to him just because you feel like you have some insane claim on me. I storm out of the kitchen.
Don't walk away from me,
he booms, following me into the living room. Leave it to Hardin to start a fight with me after the amazing day we have had. But I'm holding my ground on this. Then stop acting like you own me. I will try to compromise and make an effort to listen to you more than I do now, but not when it comes to Noah. I would immediately stop talking to him if he tried to make a move or say anything inappropriate, but he didn't. Besides, you obviously need to just trust me. Hardin stares at me, and I wonder if his energy is dissipating when at last he simply says,
I don't like him.
Okay, I get that. But you have to be reasonable. He is not plotting to take me away from you. He isn't like that. This is the first time he has even tried to contact me since I ended things with him.
And the last,
Hardin snaps. I roll my eyes and head into the small bathroom.
What are you doing?
He asks. I'm going to take a shower, and when I get out, I hope you're done acting like a child, I say. I'm proud of the way I am standing up to him, but I can't help but feel bad for him. I know he is just afraid to lose me to Noah. He has this deep jealousy because of the way Noah and I look together. On paper, Noah is better for me, and Harden knows that, but I don't love Noah. I love Harden. Harden follows me into the bathroom, but when I start to undress, he turns and leaves, slamming the bathroom door on his way out. I take a quick shower, and when I get out, Harden is lying across the bed in just his boxers. I stay quiet as I open the drawers to find pajamas.
You're not going to wear my shirt?
His voice is low. I notice that he folded it and put it on the table next to the bed. Thanks. I pull it over my head. The familiar minty scent almost makes me forget that I'm supposed to be mad at him, but when I look over at him in his dark mood, I remember all too well. Well, this was a great night, I huff, and take my towel back to the bathroom.
Come here,
he says when I return. Hesitantly, I walk over to him, and he sits up at the end of the bed, pulling me to stand between his legs.
I'm sorry.
He looks up at me. For?
Acting like a caveman,
he says, and I can't help but laugh.
And for ruining our first night here together,
he adds. Thank you. We have to discuss these things instead of you blowing up at me. I twirl the hair at the nape of his neck in between my fingers.
I know.
He half smiles.
Can we discuss you not talking to him anymore?
Not tonight, I say with a sigh. I will have to find a middle ground with him, but I am not completely giving up my right to talk to someone I've known half my life.
Look at us, working our problems out.
He chuckles ruefully. I hope our neighbors won't miss their quiet evenings.
Oh, they wouldn't have gotten any quiet anyway.
His smile shows his dimples to full fire-igniting effect, but I ignore his perverted remark.
I really didn't mean to ruin the night,
he says again. I know. It's not ruined. It's only 8, I smile.
I wanted to be the one to take that dress off you,
he states, his eyes darkening. I could always put it back on, I say, in what is an attempt to be sexy. Without a word, he stands up and lifts me over his shoulder. I squeal and try to kick my legs at him. What are you doing? I scream.
Going to get that dress.
He laughs and carries me over to the laundry hamper. Chapter 88.
Too bad we didn't make it to the part about me removing the dress,
Harden whispers into my ear as he pushes me farther onto the bed. As soon as I slid his t-shirt off over my head, he practically tackled me onto our bed and slid the condom on faster than I thought possible. Is the only word I can manage to form as he slides in and out of me. This is the first time we are making love that there is no pain, only pleasure.
God, baby, you feel so good,
he groans and rocks his hips against mine. The feeling is indescribable. His lean body fits perfectly between my legs, and his hot skin feels heavenly against mine. I consider responding to urge him with dirty talk the way that he does me. But I'm lost in him, and the pleasure coursing through me as he continues his tender assault. I grip onto his back. My nails rake down his skin, and his eyes roll to the back of his head. I love to see him this way, so out of control, so primal. He lifts my thigh to wrap around his waist, bringing our bodies even closer. Watching him pushes me to the limit. My toes curl and my leg tightens around his back as I moan his name repeatedly.
That's it, baby. Come for me. Show me how good... Fuck. How good I make you feel.
He stutters, and I feel him twitch inside me. Though he finishes a few seconds before me, his perfect movements continue until I am turned into a pool of boneless mush and am spent. My body is completely relaxed, and he collapses on top of me. We lie there in silence, just enjoying the feeling of being so close to each other, and within minutes, soft snores fall from Harden's lips. The days here pass quickly. Having freedom for the first time in your life will do that. It's still foreign to be in my own place, with my own shower, to make my own coffee in my own kitchen. Sharing all of this with Harden only makes it that much better. I decide upon my navy blue eyelet dress with white heels. I'm getting better at walking in them, but I still pack my trusty Toms in my purse just in case. My hair is curled and pinned back, and I even put on a little eyeshadow and liner. I'm really liking this having my own space. Harden refuses to wake up, sitting up only long enough to kiss me goodbye. I wonder how he manages to work and do all of his schoolwork when I have yet to see him do either. In a brave move, I grab his car keys and take his car to Vance. If he is skipping classes, he surely won't miss it, right? I forget how much closer we live to Vance now, and I make a mental note to remember to thank Harden for his foresight, even though he has to drive farther to campus now. That I don't have to drive 40 minutes makes my day much better. When I reach the top floor, Kimberly is standing at the conference room table, placing donuts in neat rows.
"Whoa, Tessa, look at you,"
she whistles playfully. I flush and she laughs.
"Navy is definitely your color."
She looks me up and down again. I feel slightly self-conscious, but her smile soothes my thoughts. I have been feeling much more confident and sexy lately, thanks to Harden. "Thank you, Kimberly," I smile back and grab a donut and a cup of coffee. The phone rings on her desk and she rushes over to answer it. When I get to my office, I have an email from Mr. Vance, praising my notes on the first manuscript and saying that even though that one was a pass for the house, he looks forward to my evaluation of the next one. I dive right in and get to work.
"Anything good?"
Harden's voice startles me out of my work. I look up, slightly shocked, and he smiles.
"Must be, since you didn't seem to notice my arrival."
He looks incredible. His hair is pushed up in the front, as always, but the sides are flatter than usual, and he has a plain white V-neck on. The shirt is tighter than usual, making his tattoos even more visible underneath. He is so incredibly hot. And all mine.
"So, how was the drive?"
he asks with a smirk. "Really nice," I giggle.
"So you think you can just take my car without my permission?"
His voice is low, and I can't tell if he is joking. I stammer. He doesn't say anything, just walks over behind my desk and pulls my chair out. His eyes move from my shoes up to my face, and he pulls me to stand up.
"You look so sexy today,"
he says against my neck, before gently pressing his lips against my skin. I shiver. Why are you here?"
"You aren't happy to see me?"
He smiles and lifts me onto the desk. "Oh." "Yeah, of course I am," I tell him. I am always happy to see him.
"I may have to consider coming back here after all, just so I can do this every day,"
he says and puts his hands on my thighs. "Someone could come in here." I try to be stern, but my tone is shaky.
"Nope. Vance is at a meeting for the rest of the afternoon, and Kimberly has agreed to call if she needs you."
The idea of Harden hinting to Kimberly what we could be doing in here makes my cheeks heat, but my hormones take over. I glance at the door.
"Locked,"
he answers cockily. Without thinking, I pull Harden closer and immediately put my hand over his crotch, palming him through his jeans. He groans and unbuttons his jeans, yanking them down along with his boxers.
"This is going to be faster than usual, okay, baby?"
he says and slides my panties over. I nod with anticipation and lick my lips. He chuckles and pulls me by my hips to the edge of the desk. My lips attack his neck and I hear the foil packet being ripped open.
"Look at you. 3 months ago you would blush at the mention of sex. And now here you are letting me fuck you on your desk,"
he whispers and slams into me. Harden clamps his hand over my mouth and takes his bottom lip between his teeth. I can't believe I am actually letting Harden have sex with me on a desk at the place of my internship, with Kimberly less than 100 feet away. As much as I hate to admit it, the idea actually drives me crazy in the best way.
"Are you going to be quiet?"
he says in short spurts, and moves even faster. I nod and pant, grabbing onto his bicep so I don't fall off the desk from his assault.
"You like it this way, don't you? Fast and hard."
He grits his teeth. I gently bite down on his palm to keep quiet.
"Answer me or I'll stop,"
he threatens. I lower my eyes at him and nod, too overwhelmed with sensation to actually speak.
I knew you would,
he says, and flips me over so my stomach is on the desk. Oh, God. He thrusts back into me and moves slowly before wrapping my hair around his fist and pulling me up so he can kiss my neck. The tension grows in my stomach, and his movements grow sloppier, and I know we are both close. With his final thrust, he kisses my shoulder before pulling out of me and helping me off the desk. That was, I try to say, and he silences me by kissing my lips.
Yeah, it was.
He finishes my thoughts before pulling his pants back up. I run my fingers through my hair and wipe under my eyes to make sure my makeup is in place before looking at the clock. It's almost 3. The day has escaped me once again.
You ready?
He asks. What? It's only 3. I point to the clock.
Christian said you can leave early. I spoke to him an hour ago.
Harden, you can't just ask him if I can leave early. This internship is important to me.
Babe, relax. He mentioned that he would be out all day, and he was the one who brought up you leaving early.
I don't want anyone to think I'm taking advantage of this opportunity.
No one thinks that. Your GPA and your work speak for themselves.
Wait, so then why didn't you just call me and tell me I could come home? I raise a brow at him.
I have wanted to bend you over that desk since your first day here.
He gives me a smug smile and grabs my jacket for me. I want to tell him how crazy he is to come here just to have sex with me on the desk, but I can't deny that I loved it. Looking at him in that T-shirt with those inked muscles, I could never deny him anything. As we walk to our cars, he squints at the sun and says,
I was thinking we should go get whatever we're going to wear to that dreadful wedding.
Good idea, I agree. But I'm driving your car back home, and we can leave my car, then go. I jump into his car before he can protest. He just shakes his head and smiles.